Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want to read perhaps two or three other passages. And the message today is about minding your own business. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Our Savior is attending his first Passover, and his parents have returned home without him, and they've been looking for him. And it says in verse 46, "And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 11. And just before it, it says, "We exhort you, brethren, that you abound more and more." Verse 11. "And that you study, make it a point of honor, to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands, even as we charge you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are without and they have need of nothing." And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 14. "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we confess that there are portions of thy word that we wish were not there. We confess, our God, that they seem strange and harsh to us. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so let us not be those who read the passages that are comforting and complimentary, but let us also read the passages that would cut us to the quick, because is not thy word sharper than any two-edged sword? Let us know all the things that are contained in these passages that we've read and in others that we desire to consider, and we beseech thee that thy Spirit may prepare the heart to receive them and understand them, and that thou wouldst empower the lips to speak them. Let us know our sins, we confess them. Thou hast promised that if we do this, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. So fulfill thy promise, we pray. We look to thee for good. Bless us, we ask of thee, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. He that knows how to mind his own business is a wise man. Do you know how? The Lord Jesus was such a man. He always knew how to mind his own business, positively and negatively, because when someone says, mind your own business, usually we accept that as something that is harsh, something that is rude, but in reality, it is not, but it is simply God telling us to assume the responsibilities that he has placed upon us. The Lord Jesus said, my business is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work, my meat. So when you have the word business, you mean affairs, works, duties that need to be attended to, or, in a word, business. So when I mentioned that this message is about minding your own business, it means attending to the duties that God has placed upon you and not attending to business that God has not apportioned you. It says, and I only read one passage, but I'm going to bring the others to your attention. It says, let none of you that are Christians suffer as a murderer, as an evildoer, and in that same group that we're not to be found is this, a busybody in other men's matters. So many Christians are busybodies, and they have to be rebuked sharply. That's what the Word of God says. For which cause, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So Peter says, you're not to be a busybody. And what is so interesting is this, that the men in 2 Thessalonians 3 are accused of being busybodies. But then the women are accused in 1 Timothy 5 of being busybodies. So, I've given you three passages of Scripture, three exhortations about not being busybodies, but minding your own business. So you can say, well, for the first time in my life, a preacher from the pulpit told me to mind my own business. And there was nothing I could do about it because he read it to me from the Word of God. So we have to examine ourselves and see if at times we are not busybodies involving ourselves in affairs that have nothing to do with it. This is the way it's summed up in the book of Proverbs. It says, he that walketh by and meddleth in affairs that pertain not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. So we have it in the Old Testament as well. You go along and you see something happening and you meddle in affairs that you have nothing to do with. And it says, you're like a man that takes a dog by the ears. And if you do not understand that parable, then go sometime and take a dog by the ears and you will understand the interpretation of that passage. Now, the Lord Jesus always minded his own business, positively and negatively. He knew that was his business, and he always attended to it. And what is so beautiful is that the first time he speaks to us is in Luke chapter 2, and he's 12 years old. And he said, I must be about my father's business. At the age of 12, he knew and he was minding his own business. His father's business was his business. And the last day of his life on earth, he said this. He said, Father, I glorified thee on the earth, having finished the work, the business that you gave me to do. Now that is a remarkable man who knows how to mind his own business. But listen to the confession in the Song of Solomon. They made me keepers of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Here is one who did not keep her own business. So there are some things that we ought to do and we fail to do them. And there are some things we are to refrain from doing and we insist on doing them. And the Lord Jesus was well aware of what he was to do and what he was not to do. And there were people who were constantly trying to engage our Savior in business that was not his, and we read startling remarks when people try to ensnare him in being a busybody, making him active in a sphere outside that which God gave him in which to work. Let me tell you of three. His mother, his dear friend, Martha, and the perfect stranger. Can you imagine that? People constantly coming into his life, telling him to mind this business and that business. It happened first with his mother in John 2, when they were at a wedding and they ran out of wine. And his mother came up to him and said, "They have no wine." And the Lord Jesus said, "Woman, what is that to me? Mine hour is not yet come." He literally said, "What is that to me and to thee? What do we have in common in this area?" He was not insulting his mother, but he was reverently, because he used the same word at the end of his life in addressing his mother. When he was on the cross, he said, "Woman," as we would say, "lady." He said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." He was politely telling his mother that she was engaging in an area that she had no authority to engage in. And he said, "I am not going to be involved in this." He said, "Mine hour is not yet come." It was simply this: interference of another. And the sad thing is this, that there are many things that you mothers should teach your children and you do not teach them. And then at times when they become mature, there are many times that you would intrude in their lives and you should leave them alone. And so it said in Luke chapter 2, I did not read it, that when his parents said, "We saw thee sorrowing," the Savior said, "You did not understand that I must be about my father's business?" And for 18 years, he went down to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. This was our Savior. That was his father's business. Why, the business of God is to go and preach the gospel to every creature and think, why, if Jesus had started as a teenager preaching, how many more would have been saved? How much more we would have known? How many more utterances and truths we would have had from the lips of Jesus? His father said, "Your business is to labor as a carpenter until you're 30 years of age." And the Lord Jesus said, "That is my business." He understood it. He understood that he was one, as it says, who went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day as his custom was. He was one who faithfully attended the meetings. He had his responsibilities as, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And the Lord Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. But the sad thing is this, that there were those who would get him off track and make him do something that he was not supposed to do. It was first attempted by Satan. "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread." And the Lord Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth God. It was not his business to turn stones into bread. It was his business to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and turn them into sufficient food to feed 5,000. But it was not his business to turn stones into bread. Satan comes and tries to get him off track. His mother comes, and I may add this, his mother would come and try to get him off track. And concerning the devil left him for a season, you'll find that constantly Satan was tempting him. You'll find in Matthew chapter 16, when the Savior said he had to go and be crucified, Peter said, Lord, be it far from thee, this shall never be unto thee. The Savior said, get thee behind me, Satan. You see, there was Satan again, not just in the garden, but constantly throughout his life, not personally, face to face, as in the wilderness with Satan, but now, through individuals, his mother. Why, I will catch him up with his mother. In John 7, his brethren, they were the ones that were trying to do it. But our Savior always knew what he should do and what he should not do. And so his mother intrudes in John chapter 2. But respectfully, he must tell his mother, it is not my business, and I'm not going to get involved. In chapter 7, I will bring this to your attention now. His brothers come to him and say, it's time for you to go up to the feast, to go and manifest yourself, because no one doeth anything in secret and desireth to be made known openly. Go and manifest yourself to the world. You see, they would mind his business, tell him what to do. There are always people that are going to tell you where to preach and what to preach and what to say. Always people are telling you that. The Lord Jesus said, your time is always my time. It's not yet. You see, his mother, his brothers. Now, Martha also. She's prepared a meal. Thank God for that. But she's encumbered with much serving. And she comes up to the Lord and says, Lord, dost not care that my sister did leave me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And the Savior said, I'm doing nothing of the sort. And so here is Martha. You see, all of those that are constantly trying to mind our Savior's business. And here is another in Luke 12. A total stranger comes up to him and says, Master, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. And the Savior said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now, take those words to heart. I'm going to give you another. In Matthew chapter 20, James and John put their mother up to going to the Savior and requesting, I want my son, one on your right hand and one on your left hand in your kingdom. Listen to what the Savior said. It is not mine to give. Did you know that? I thought all authority was given unto Christ in heaven on earth. The Savior said, it is not mine to give. And also to that man who said, did my brother divide the inheritance with me? He said, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now, in the millennium, in the coming days, he shall sit upon the throne of his father David, and he shall dispense justice. And just as those came to Solomon and to David and to kings and sought mercy and justice, in that day he will dispense it. But at this time, the Lord Jesus was not going to get involved in a harangue over an inheritance. The eldest son is to receive twice as much. Perhaps he had taken from this younger son something that he should have had, but evidently he did not, because the Savior afterward said, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This man that came and asked him to divide the inheritance was characterized by covetousness. And the Lord Jesus said, it is not my business to settle all of these earthly affairs. And in contrast to that, when he said to one, he said, come, follow me. And he said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. And the Savior said, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but go thou and publish abroad the kingdom God. He understood the spear of operation. He said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. They're professionals at that. He said, they can do it, and you can do it as well. But they cannot preach the kingdom of God, and you can. And that has the priority. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. Now, there were those in Israel that were set in the position to judge, to divide inheritances. And the Lord said, that's not my business. And in like manner, there was no nepotism on the part of our Lord. Here are relatives of yours, and I want you to do favors for them. The Lord said, it's not mine to give. This is determined by my Father who is in heaven. And so he knew everything that his Father was to decide upon on earth, and he knew what he was to decide upon on earth. And so our Savior constantly minded his own business, and at times it was refraining to become entangled in the affairs that the Father had not apportioned to him. So he is a wise man who knows how to mind his own business, and that is why I ask you if you know how to mind your own business. Because I've had people constantly trying to help me out through life, minding my business for me. And some of the suggestions were so good, I thought about taking them. Let me tell you about one. When I first started out as a young man, I don't know if you know about the assemblies, but there was no guarantee. You were cast upon the Lord. And here is this man, and he had gone to a large denomination, massive congregation. And so he said, you are a minister of the gospel? I said, yes. He said, what church is yours? I said, the church belongs to Christ. I serve him in different areas. He said, you do? He said, what guaranteed salary do you have? I said, none. He said, what titles of respect do you have? I said, I'm simply a minister of the gospel. He said, let me give you some advice. He said, seek out one of the larger, confirmed disciples that will give you security now, a car, a home, a guaranteed salary, and at the end of your life, they will put you and a rest home and care for you until you die. That's my advice. I told you I was tempted at times to take that advice, but I understood that that was not my business. And so I politely denied that opportunity as if this man could get me a position. You see, perhaps I would have thought more seriously of it if he had had influence. But the man was making that suggestion. And also, you see, what church I'm to serve in, and others, after I preach a message, I read a portion of Scripture and tell you what that portion of Scripture teaches. And I remember a sister coming up and saying, you didn't bring the gospel out of that passage. I said, the gospel was not in that passage. She said, I can put the gospel in any passage in the Word of God. And I said to myself, no doubt you could. But it was not her business to come and tell me to preach the gospel from the Sermon on the Mount. Do you not understand this, all of you? You're so hasty to tell a man what he should preach on. Like the brother that came up to me more suddenly and said, oh, that God today would lay it on your heart to preach on 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, that God would tell you to do that. I said, if the Lord tells me to do that, I will do it. But evidently the Lord did not tell me to do that. But here is one telling me concerning that. But I ask this question. Tell me, is all Scripture given by inspiration of God? You say yes. Well, is it in proportion as to what should be gospel and what should be ministry? You say, well, since God gave it, I suppose it is. Well, then, is it up to me then to take a portion that the Spirit has put there for ministry to His people and turn it into the gospel? You say, well, I do not suppose so. But some people can turn any portion of the Word of God into gospel. But if that is so, I would read a portion and preach from it because it did contain the gospel. But I remember just the opposite, something that helped me. An older brother, one of the elders, He said in passing, he said, I want this brother to speak because he will read a portion of scripture and tell you what it means. And I never forgot that. It said that Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So, if you have invited me to speak here, then at least trust that perhaps I've been in the presence of God and sought to receive something from the Lord. But you do have this responsibility, and I tell you that it is your business, if I preach error, to come and tell me about it. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It said, let your prophets speak two and three at a time, and let the others judge those that have the gift of discernment to know if I have spoken the word of God. But if I have, then accept it as the word of God. If I preached error, and you know that it's error, then it is your business to come and tell me. If not, take this message as from the Lord. So people have told me so many times just what to do, what to say, how to live my life. And you must know when to accept and when to reject. I asked this question once of younger brethren. I said, if your wife tells you what to do, should you listen to her or disregard what she says? And one said, why, of course you're to listen to her. The other said, why, you're not to listen to her, you see? So if your wife comes and speaks to you, what are you to do? I will tell you what you're to do. If, as in the case of Sarah, she says to you as she did to Abraham, some suggestion like this, go in unto Hagar and obtain children by her. Do not listen to your wife. That is not your business. But Abraham listened to his wife, and so much trouble ensued. But after Ishmael had grown up, his wife came to him and said, get rid of that son of yours. He's not going to be in the house with my son Isaac. And Abraham said, it's such a hard thing to do. And God said to him, listen to your wife. Isn't that terrible when God has to tell us men to listen to our wives? But you have to know when not to listen to them and when to listen to them. And so Sarah was minding Abraham's business in the case of Ishmael, and she was wrong. And she was minding Abraham's business in the case of ridding the household of Ishmael, and she was right. So we must know how to mind our own business, because people are constantly going to tell you how to do your own business. But the Lord Jesus knew. All right. I said our Savior knew when to and when to refrain from doing things that others told him. And listen to what he says to Peter just before he's going back to heaven. In John 21, he says to Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when you shall become old, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he said, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. And then the other disciple that Jesus loved was walking by. He said, Lord, what about this man? The Savior said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He said, follow thou me. There are always Christians wanting to know about other people's lives. And at times, the Savior says, it is none of your business what I want to do with that man. You follow me. You live your own life. And what is so sad is that in the case of Peter, also in the case of John, they're minding other people's business, and they have no right to do it at all. And they boast about it at times. You'll find that John came up to the Savior on one occasion, and he said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not us. The Lord said, forbid him not. He that is not against us is for us. for no man shall easily be able to speak a word against the Son of Man. Consider what John had presumed to do, to tell another man that had power from God because he was casting out demons in the Savior's name. He wasn't following him the way he should perfectly, but he still had power, and he was casting out demons. And John said, I told him what he should do and what he should not do. And so there are many of us who would go around to all the evangelicals in Hayward County and in Wake County and Wayne County and just tell them to quit preaching the gospel because they do not follow, they do not gather to the name of the Lord perfectly. And so cease all of these activities until you are correct scripturally when it comes to gathering to the name of the Lord. And the Lord would say, you are meddling in other people's business. In time, I may have them introduced to an Aquila and a Priscilla who shall teach them the way of God more perfectly. But it is not your business to tell them to cease working for the Lord. Let them work imperfectly, and I hasten to add this, inasmuch as they were not following the Lord, there was something wrong, but at least there was something right because they had power to cast out demons in our Savior's name. And so when it comes to all the denominations, it is not our business to straighten them out. If we are confronted with them, yes, we are to defend the faith. We are to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us. But we have to know when to speak and when to remain silent. And our Savior was one who knew. Now, in this case, God has given certain responsibilities that we are to fulfill. And at times, when you are to mind other people's business. So will you remember these things? Will you remember that if someone comes to visit here in the mountains from another assembly, and she's one like Phoebe, this is what the Bible says. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister in the Lord. She's been a helper of many. I want you to help her in whatsoever business she has need of. Do you understand? So if someone comes and they need practical assistance, then you are to mind her business. But so often an opportunity like that arises and we do absolutely nothing. But the Lord said, mind her business. You see? So you have to know what is your business and what is not your business. And the Savior is one who always knew, and Christians so often do not know. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. It says, submit yourselves unto them, because they have to give an account. They watch in behalf of your soul. And so at times, if I tell you things, it is my business to tell you things. I am to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I am to reprove you sharply at times. God has given me that authority. And if I do not, I have to give an account to God in the day of judgment. Do you understand? Those are responsibilities that God has given. And you are to hearken to those that come and tell you such things. There was a remembrance meeting this morning. Why were you not there? You say, how dare you put that question to me? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, we're to exhort one another. We're to say to one another, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another day by day, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is my business to exhort you. If you fail to come to the meetings, you are forsaking them. You say, I missed the meeting. You are forsaking. That's the way that God puts it. And it says we are to exhort one another. It is my responsibility. If there is sin in a church, I am to deal with that sin. And these are business matters that God has placed upon certain ones. And if you say, mind your own business, I would say, I am minding my own business. And that is something that we resent. But it is authority that God has given. Whenever you tell people the truth, people will tell you to mind your own business. When our Savior went in with that scourge of small cords in John 2, and then at the end of his ministry, and cleansed the temple, drove out the money changers. He said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And then he came into the temple and he was teaching. And the authorities came to him and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And the Lord said, well, let me ask you a question, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? They said, we can't answer that question. If we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, why, the people will stone us. They said, we're not able to answer that question. The Lord Jesus said, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. But the Father gave him that authority. The Father has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all might honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And the Lord Jesus knew perfectly what his authority was. And he knew when to tell a person what to do, and when not to tell a person what to do. When Martha would say, tell my sister Mary to stop sitting at your feet and listen to your word and come and help me. The Lord said, I'm not going to tell her such a thing. Bid my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He said, man who made me a judge or a divider over you. Have my sons to sit one on your right hand and one on your left hand. He said, it is not mine to give. He is a wise man who knows his own business. So there are things that you should be doing that you fail to do. This is what God says to Archippus. Tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry which he has received of the Lord, that he fulfill it. There are businesses that you are to attend to and you are not doing them. He said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And so Timothy had a tendency to neglect the duties that were placed upon him. And so mind your own business. There are things that you should be doing that you are not doing. And at the same time, there are busybodies going about that are pastors minding other people's matters, and they have no authority from God to do those things. So he is a wise man who knows how to mind his own business. By the grace of God, may we be such wise men. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that we shall understand positions in the world. We remember that your Son did. He said, which of you shall have a slave that shall labor all day in the field and shall come in and will he sit down and feed himself first? No. His master shall say, you feed me first. Our Father, we would think that such a thing was so unkind. Let us understand what our position in life is. Let us understand if we are as Archippus and we have a ministry to fulfill it. If we are those who have authority over others, let us understand that it is our business, the mind, the business of others. If there is sin, to put away that wicked man from among you, let us understand that it is our business, however others might disagree. Let us realize, Father, that at times the temple needs to be cleansed as thy Son did. At other times, let us realize that we are to refrain from taking a dog by the ears. So give us guidance by thy Spirit, and let us be those who fulfill our responsibilities. Let us be able to say with thy Son early in life, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business, and then at the end of our life say, I glorify thee on the earth, having finished the business that you gave me to do. Be able to say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. Father, let us be those who know how to mind our own business. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.